Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Double Agents Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 14. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, my co-host, Alistair. Ali, how are you?
I'm so tired. I haven't recovered from the 4.5 hour podcast I did 24 hours ago.
I was going to say, as I was watching the podcast this morning, I'm like, is she done yet? Is she going to be able to do the podcast today? Or is she going to stream right into the challenge one?
The physical pain one feels around the 4 hour mark of a podcast. Like, I don't understand how Rob and Akiva do it. I think they would have gone for longer. Spoiler alert for the end. For anyone who doesn't know, I was on a Survivor podcast this week talking about one of the worst seasons of Survivor, as determined by the listeners of Rob as a podcast, with my NGOG co-host Akiva Winokur and with Rob's sister Nino. And they would have kept going, those fools. Not only did I keep saying I'm miserable, we have to end the episode, but then they were chatting, right? We got off stream and they were chatting and I self-ejected. Like I hit X and left and then texted like, sorry if that was rude, I had to go. Because I kept saying Irish I had to go and they kept talking.
Yeah, Irish exited a podcast. That's
yeah, the 2021 version. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm out. They should have been pinched. They weren't wearing green. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. I was tired. It's late for me, but here I am. You gave me a little bit of adrenaline on the pre-show, and I'm ready to go.
I came in hot. A bitch is angry.
We're ready to go. Yeah.
Brian got to see a little bit of why I sympathize with Josh in rare occasions, but otherwise, we're bringing joy. We're bringing positive energy to the pod.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good episode, too. One, there was actually some interesting strategic decisions made, interesting mistakes made, and it was a good episode, I thought.
I'm excited for you to convince me of that. I mean, I enjoyed myself, and the elimination was one of the most, I mean, we've had two back-to-back now, like really great, who knew what was going to happen eliminations for me, and so that sort of carried the day when I think back of the episode, but I think it was like a pretty predetermined, and you're right, I was impressed once they laid out what the strategy was going to be. I was like, oh, smart. And then between, you know, A to B, there wasn't a lot going on.
Right. I mean, yeah, but that's usually challenge case. Usually the A to B's falls a little flat. But there was good B. I thought the B was good.
Great B. We love good B. Yeah. Well, I want to hear about the mistakes. So let's get into it, because I want to know who made mistakes.
Yeah. So, well, you start off, kind of the table is fully set with the first scene. We have Nani with being like, oh, I feel great with Fessy. Feel great. That doesn't stand still. We got Durrell being like, I just want to avoid elimination. That comes back. And we have, there was one more. Kyle being like, oh, Kyle's like, oh, my best friend's Leroy, which I didn't know about either. But apparently Kyle's best friends are with Leroy. And that obviously comes back to bite him. So there's three things that they kind of set the table for that play after the entire episode.
And in that way, it was a little weird. Like, why are we first? Why is episode 14 the first episode we get where Leroy's like, I'll play a dirty game if I have to? Like, did anybody have doubts that Leroy was surviving this episode? Like, Leroy hasn't been in jeopardy since he had to get a skull. And now, like, the teams have dwindled to teams that basically he's good with almost everyone. So it was just, I agree, it was a lot of good sort of foreshadowing and good, like, story arcing, like, from beginning to end. But it just felt late in the game to get that confessional.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they've kind of, he said that throughout. I think he definitely said that in the beginning of the season, like, I'm here to play. I'm not here to make fun. Like, he's laid that groundwork that this doesn't come out of nowhere, him wanting to be cutthroat when it comes down to it. I think he's kind of said that throughout the year.
Yeah. 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 And just maybe just this sound, but like definitely didn't happen this week is more just how I felt it. Like, why are we watching this?
Yeah. Right.
I like the relationship that Anissa and Kyle have. Like, more than maybe I expected to. I just like how upfront both of them are to each other. Like, there's no fake bullshit of like, oh, I really missed you. I wanted you back. Like, I think I'm, spoiler alert, going to say about CT later. Whereas, like, Kyle's like, yep, I've talked so much trash about you. And Anissa's like, yeah, I mean, you're not terrible. Like, neither of them are gassing each other up.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, and I blindsided you. So, yeah, we're all shitty to each other, but we can laugh about it. They were both very good sports at it, which we saw a little bit of carryover from last week. We saw Kyle. He's just like a positive person. Even like a negative situation lately, he's just such a positive person. And it, like, I totally remove him now from the Kara and Pauly stuff. Like, he is totally his own person, and thank God, because that was a miserable situation for him. And now he is firmly, like, a very entertaining person on this show.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's like, maybe you and I have, like, been low on him or, like, forgotten about him on certain podcasts because we're just so traumatized from his first couple of seasons, and now it is nice to see him sort of break out of that. And maybe, hopefully, we'll remember him next season when we're talking about the guests.
Yeah, you would hope so, because he's been great. I think last season he was great too. He's been top notch in the Jim Carrey of it all.
We talked about, or you talked about, Lyra and Kyle's friendship being sort of a revelation. We also get a scene with Corian and Anissa. Now, that's not news to us, right? I think we talked about that last week. Like, Anissa and Corey are good friends. Would Anissa pick him to be her partner? But, like, no, because she doesn't have a skull. And it's very interesting to see Corey go over and do sort of this pre-work, both with Darrell and Leroy and with Anissa, to try to be the house vote. And Anissa takes it surprisingly well that Corey's basically saying, I want to go in against your partner.
Especially in a week where it could very easily have been a girl's week. Like, there was, you know, it could have been anyone. Like, there was no reason to think it 100% had to be a guy's week. It was totally up in the air. So very surprising that Anissa would be so willing to be like, yeah, sure, if it comes down to it, I'll make that happen for you.
And now, no disrespect to Big T, but I do think it's possible that Anissa's, if Corey's the house vote and then Corey's asking for her, fine, I know I'd be going against Big T and I feel confident. Whereas if, like, Anissa and Kyle were the house vote or someone else was the house vote, someone could still, I think she's expecting to be sort of targeted by the house regardless as the quote weakest team. So maybe she's like, this maybe isn't that bad of an option to be okay with it here.
And I guess it is always better just to say yes in these situations, especially because, again, we've seen this a few times where I bet Anissa and Kyle didn't think they'd be in power anyway. Surprising that they turned out to be, but this is a situation where you could just say yes and not really have to cash that check. And then they did have to cash it, but I bet they didn't think they would have to.
No, and it's a good point. But also, like, she's close enough with Corey where she could maybe try to pull, like, a, you can't put me at risk. Like, come on, like, what about anybody else? Like, whatever. But all, as Lyra and Darrell kind of point out, it all becomes a moot point because it's too early maybe to be discussing this.
Yeah, I mean, they could have announced, who knows what the challenge, they could have said this is clearly a double elimination week. They could have said anything, and then pitching to be the house vote is meaningless. So it was early to start laying the groundwork.
Let's talk about the challenge, because I liked this challenge. It was straightforward, but I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, the crystal clear water was a beautiful sight. It was called Undercover. They laid it out that you have to swim down in the freezing cold water, collect 6 rings, swim it back, and solve a puzzle. The way they set it up, they were like, you can't, like, if you go up to breathe, you know, you're out, you're disqualified. Maybe I'm stupid, but I didn't realize they would have, like, you know, scuba equipment with them. I thought they literally just had to hold their breath. And, like, that's how they had to do the challenge.
It was extremely unclear. I have to say that I'm in my notes, DQ'd for breathing. Like, and that's a new one. But yeah, they had this, like, it wasn't quite scuba equipment, like an air tank. It was like, so, you know, if we have any divers in the audience, let us know. But, like, it seemed to be some sort of tube where it's, like, in your mouth and it filters air from the water. Like, it didn't look like a typical, because you wouldn't have that level. Maybe you would, but I don't think so many people would have that level of anxiety if you had, like, a full tank. They clearly didn't have that kind of thing.
They had this little mouth thing. Like, it was probably more like snorkeling level equipment. But even those, I tried doing that. Like, I'm not good with that type of, like, snorkel. The water goes in, it goes out my ears, my nose. It's a disaster. So I would have been the person
you have
that
to be on the surface for snorkeling.
Yeah, but, like, you can, like, and then you, but even that, I screw up. I'm not good underwater. Just let me be in the waves. I don't need to swim.
I also am not good underwater, but I am, like, decent with a breathing apparatus. I'm bad with holding my breath. But I, you know, kudos to them, because it did look like it would be scary. Like, it was certainly not an apparatus anyone would be familiar with. And so if you have water anxiety generally, you know, it's hard. But I did love just the comedy of seeing them in the Scuba Steve outfits. Or as, like, Leroy says, what does he say? Looks like, I don't know. He looked like a little pinhead.
And the montage of none of them knowing what a tectonic plate was. And honestly, like, I'm not even sure how I would describe tectonic plate. I thought it just like rocks. Like I didn't like, I wouldn't even know how to describe it.
Well, I think tectonic plates, if I'm not mistaken, when they like rub against each other, cause like earthquakes or tsunamis or like natural disasters. The only thing I connect with tectonic plates, and I wasn't going to tell this story, but since we're here, I had a friend in like either middle school or early high school where we had a standardized test that was like being tested on us. So it wasn't going to be used for anything. And there was like a science portion where you had to like write a short answer essay that was like, okay, these tectonic plates are going to basically move against each other. What's going to happen? And he wrote the real answer, like this could happen or this natural disaster. And then he wrote, none of which would be as destructive as Godzilla tearing apart the city. See figure A. And then he drew figure A of like a monster crushing buildings. And so I only think of him when I see this. So if you're out there, you know who you are. You know what
I can't believe you actually have a story so directly tied to tectonic plates. That's beautiful.
I mean, as a almost 30-year-old, if you listen to NGOG, as a 30-year-old, because I round up, it doesn't hit as hard. But when you were in eighth grade, that's the funniest thing anyone's ever done.
Oh, absolutely. Any type of messing up on an essay is the funniest thing in the world.
So for our eighth grade listeners out there, I hope you enjoyed that story. Feel free to use it.
I just can't believe you got a fake test like you're on Lost. Like you're good, like psychological experiments, just like see what you would do with the test. That's wild.
And I think it was just like, what will the results be? Like it's like, what can we introduce this as part of our statewide standardized test? I don't know, man. I only remember the monster destroying the city. I don't remember like the purpose or the content or like the effect it had on me.
So yeah, but for this challenge, Kyle needs to go first. They do very well, seemingly. We don't, it's always hard to judge exactly how quickly they do, but they collect all the pieces, they solve the puzzle, the code, and they're off and running.
Can we rewind for a second? Like, this is the first time this season, and correct me if I'm wrong, yes, if you dare, that we saw them with this briefcase of files to make the order of the challenge.
Yes, yes, we had to go back to that. Yeah, I totally forgot about this, too. And this was, like, this used to be a rule on, like, every episode was, like, this was a huge part of it. Like, saying the order was always, like, the, you know, a big test case of, like, who's your alliance? Who are you really going after? This was always a huge thing. And I kind of, like, completely forgot about it until they did it here. It's, like, true. This was the first time all season they did it. And I feel like they've done stuff with orders before. And I don't know. I guess it's the first time it's like impacted the show where people were pissed because of the order. And I guess it never showed any relevance before, but they must have been doing this.
Yeah, I agree. It must just be that this is the first time it's even remotely played a factor. But it stinks a little because it just kind of shows like how unsuccessful the season's been in terms of like such dominant alliance. And this happens, right? It's like, it's okay. But like the alliances were so dominant, the power structure was so clear that like it probably wasn't even interesting. Like if we were to go back and look at what the order's been, it probably would be like, oh yeah, like okay, like Michi and Liv go for like whatever, whoever's right, their partners.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's so Leroy has them go first. And I guess the pushback should have been they should have just had Corey go first. But first or second. I mean, I guess Kyle and Asa knew they were on the bottom, so I don't know what this necessarily would have proved.
Although I'm thinking back to some of the challenges that stand out, like the one where they had to dig all in a line, that's not an order. The ones that have an order are like the ones you can't watch where it's like who can fly the drone, but it's like the when they're doing in two heats where they're holding the partner up, the big T and CT one, they have trivia, which wasn't an order, unless maybe they made the order for that. So maybe there weren't that many things where it would even matter. Don't at me. Right. I don't care.
Yeah. But yeah, regardless, this was it used to be a very big thing. And it was fun to see it kind of play out as a OG way to present storylines.
I do love Big T, just like her grudge holding ability where she's just like, I'm actually finally having fun. Corey's so much better than CT. He listens to me. And then they both like DQ. I guess Corey DQs, but it did look like Big T also came up.
Yeah. Well, Big T also was able to be dropped in the water much further along. So she was already ready. Oh, much closer to the rings.
Oh, Lolo, you didn't. Amber and Darrell also kind of suck. And I think this is the first time we get Darrell discussing, like, maybe I need to switch my partner, which, like, hello. Yeah. Well, you had the chance, bro. What happened?
Yeah. Yeah, and then by the end of the episode, he's like, screw her. I can't wait to leave her. I can't wait to like ditch her. I can't wait to get a new partner. He really came to that revelation real quick and then jumped on it.
Not to like really jump out of control here, but if he sticks Amber B with Leroy, maybe they become a much more attractive pair to be calling down, right? Like, part of what's attractive about calling out Darrell is that he's got the weakest partner out of the women.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And just the way, I mean, obviously we'll get more into it, but this episode very much in particular really signified how smart it was for this whole season for Leroy and Cam to separate. The fact that they each had their tentacles in someone, like their partner, but then also Leroy has Nani like right in his corner. So like they have control of it just by being separate.
And really jumping ahead, like Darrell later says, like, oh, the season's much harder than it used to be. And I think part of that is like an understanding of the strategy. Like he, like Anissa mm-hmm. put herself in a good spot to not go in tonight by not picking Corey. Darrell did not put himself in a good spot by staying with his partner. Like there were, he was sort of one step behind. He should have been, you know, and made that extra push.
Yep. Yep. The harder part is not just the physical, but understanding the new social dynamics of this crew of people for sure.
I have to say, Fessy kicking Nani and ruining for her, and then as she goes up, him dragging her drowning ass down, is like, I love this like ogre Fessy who's like terrible working with people. I love that he's getting that in it.
It's too funny. He's like, I'll she could drown. I don't care. She doesn't need to breathe. Just come on down, Nani. Let's get this. Let's try to get this win. Too funny. And he's just like, sorry, yeah, you can't drown. We're not actually going to let people drown here.
I think I'm just mad at Fessy still over the Tory stuff. I meant like anticipating how annoyed the reunion's going to make me. So like, mm-hmm. I just was like really feeling for Nani, and I was like, yeah, Fessy sucks. Like you campaigned to get this partner, and now you're kicking her in the face. Like you suck.
Yep. Yeah. As one of the biggest resident Corey stands, were you at all familiar with this traumatic incident from his childhood that he can't dive underwater?
I wasn't. But again, we talk about synergy. Kara Mullen, Phillips, actually, now that I remember, in 4.5 hours, we didn't even talk about this on the podcast. But Philip Shepherd sits out because he got trapped under a pier in a pond while he was swimming. Mm-hmm. And you better believe I was shocked when that storyline comes up on the challenge in the same week. I gotta text Robin Akiva. I can't believe we didn't talk about that.
Well, we'll cover it here. Here we go. We'll get another half hour out of the 4.5 hours. It's an ever-ending podcast. But I mean, it's crazy. I mean, this core is like 6-7 seasons, something like that. I'm sure they've done water challenges many times, and for whatever reason, this is the one that really triggered him that he can't dive underwater. And what a crazy story. His friend tried to drown him. Jesus, give me fronts.
That's a story where you need more and simultaneously less information. It's like, I don't want to know any more about that, but the story as it stands is certainly insufficient. Like, now that I've heard it, right. I need more. But yeah, no, I didn't know that story. Maybe true team mom heads know, but I also think, like, do we see, and I'd be furious if you asked me this, but like, I won't pose it as a question. I don't personally recall a lot of hold your breath kind of challenges, right? It's like, that's sort of more of a survivor thing, whereas this is more swimming, boating, long distance endurance. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like this seemed very specific. Like you dive down deep and you're going to be holding your breath, and that's the anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that must be the case, but it's just weird that we just haven't. I mean, Corey's, it's not his first season. It's just, you would think this type of issue would have, you know, popped up at some point along the way of his challenge career, but I guess not.
He has so much more to give, Brian. You're only scratching the surface with him.
Mm-hmm. Future of the challenge.
All right, CT and Cam, whatever, they do fine, but shreds of their partnership not really working well together. Fine.
Yep.
I do want to say, I think there are, I was pounding that team morale drum and the importance of morale in the beginning. I do think there is something to new teams sort of having this like Nam and Lolo problem, where like you didn't have the first few weeks where you weren't going to get voted in to work out the kinks. Like even Leroy and Casey, look how far they've come from like, we don't talk to each other, but we just randomly perform well, to they've built trust, they've built loyalty, they've built friendship, and they perform like a well-oiled machine. I think Cam and NCT, while being two behemoths, if they had 6 weeks to work this out, would have already found maybe their natural groove as a partnership. So I do think there's a disadvantage, as Nani talks about. Maybe I shouldn't have picked Fessy because I have no team chemistry with him. A late pair can't really work that out.
Right. Yeah, I think there is something there. And it's also, you know, it, for some partners, they would have just been able to click automatically. And then for some partners that maybe they're, it was because CT and Cam are pretty similar personality wise in their like how competitive they are. Apparently they're both, you know, they're both very puzzle people. They want to be type A, they want to, you know, be the hero, that if they could, they, if they had more time to work it out, they probably could have. But because, yeah, like you said, they have to just jump in right away and work it out, it does make it more challenging. Where there's other teams that you toss them together, and they do fine. So it is very situation by situation based.
It's almost like Kyle was the perfect partner for Cam, even if like we didn't know it, they didn't know it, whatever. Like early on, wouldn't have put them together because Kyle can execute. Kyle needs to be reined in. He's not sort of the brains mm-hmm. of the operation. Although he has great ideas, he's got the more fun ideas, but he needs mm-hmm. to be sort of reined in and is willing to follow a leader. And Cam's a leader.
And that's just willing, like prefers to. Like he's, right. he said, like, I want Cam to like be the queen and I'll be right next to you.
Right, exactly. I mean, who wouldn't want to just be mm-hmm. right next to Cam?
Right, of course.
All right, so let's talk about, I mean, okay, so they end up, Anissa and Kyle end up winning. Did they get you? This is the first time I think I actually got I fell for it going to commercial that it was just going to be Leroy, Cam, one of them winning.
Yeah, that was a good fake out by TJ, just listing out two of the three teams that completed it. I wonder if they all knew like who did it, because obviously they wouldn't be able to see the puzzle they're all doing. So I don't know if they all knew how many teams actually finished it. But it was a good fake out of the audience that he just listed the two of them. Because, I mean, it seemed like Kyle and Issa struggled with the puzzle. They couldn't figure it out. Obviously, editing played a part. But that's how they presented it to us, and it worked out well.
But let's talk about the strategy that you and I were both impressed by of who's actually going to be the houseboat this week.
Yeah, so there was actually a lot of good kind of creative thinking, like, tit for tat, where it was clear that Corey and Big T were most likely going to go in, but the house quickly figured out that if they do it for themselves, it opens everyone up to be voted in by Kyle and Issa. And obviously with Kyle up there, who loves acting out of vengeance, they don't know who he might target. So they're like, you know what, let's just take matters into our own hands and throw Darrell and Amber B under the bus.
Yeah. I don't want to do this. So I have to, what was tit for tat used there?
Well, all right, maybe that was the wrong script, but it's like they had a plan. It's a point, okay?
I said tit for tat, and I was like, nothing's coming out. That was tit for tat.
There's an expression there. I just can't think of it.
What's good for the goose is good for the... I'm just kidding. It's just like...
Potentially. It came from the clouds. I don't know.
It's one of our strongest segments, Brian. Misuses a common phrase.
Yeah, but I think people understand. You know what? If the language is to communicate and people understood what I meant, and that's all that matters.
Literally everything else you said was 1,000% spot on. So, like, certainly people knew what you were saying. I'm just like, I wanted you to see.
Mrs. Lincoln, how was the show?
I even started to move on. And I was like, no, but I have to for the audience. I have to.
Okay. For the audience. P.S. And for you, too. Don't make the audience your shield. You love doing that.
Poor Akiva has to deal with me just getting it for the... I let it go because I know I can get him from the editing room, but he doesn't know. Yeah.
I got Allie live for the podcast.
From the audience. It's BS. Okay, sorry. What were we talking about? No, it's also a guarantee because it's putting Anissa and Kyle on the spot because... Again, it's unclear if they'd even be allowed to put in someone else with a skull, and we can talk about who the other options might have been. But it's basically saying, okay, we put in Darrell, and we control who that person's going against, because you'd A, have to be a massive D to not put in Corey. Or maybe, mm-hmm. like, the show wouldn't even let you, because no one would get a skull. Right, so it's just like, the power couple becomes neutered by having done this. So it was very impressive once they started talking about it. But then it was a lot of wasted time until we got to the deliberation, because it became very clear it was going to be Darrell and Amber.
It was a waste of time, but it was interesting to see how each person kind of played out.
It's a waste of time is an intro. I mean, all I do is waste my time. I did a 4.5-hour podcast on a season of Survivor that aired in 2013. Of course. What do I do that's not a waste of time?
So So the mistake I thought was made, which didn't come back to bite Leroy, but the fact that this is the type of mistake that Leroy makes like 3 years ago, and there's a rogue vote out, and all of a sudden Leroy is getting voted into elimination. He tells Darrell, like, you know, I'm going to follow, like, the vote's coming around to you. I don't want to do it, but just so you know, I'm going to go along and do it and vote you in. Like, you don't do that. Like, you're so, Leroy, you're so close. You're so close to the end. Like, oh, I was so worried this was going to come back to bite him, and this would be like, oh no, moment.
So I was just super impressed in this scene with Darrell, who does not skip a beat, who seemingly believed that it would be Corey. So like, he wasn't necessarily prepared for it to be him at this point. And he's just like, well, great. What a great opportunity for me to take your partner.
Mm-hmm.
That's his only move there, right? Is to threaten to take Casey if he wins. And maybe there'll be a switch made. As far as would it bite Leroy, I see what you're saying. And now that you've said it's very Leroy. But I just think with the way this game is set up now, like, there's nothing that could be done that Leroy could F that up, you know? Like, Darrell wasn't going to vote for himself anyway.
No, but, like, I mean, I don't know, maybe, like, all of a sudden, you know, Darrell goes to CT and is like, all right, I know CT's with Camp, but he can vote in Leroy and, like, make a move there to split up that situation just to get some. Like, there was a way that things could have just backfired that Leroy, like, they would have been blindsiding Darrell. Darrell would have had no idea that he would have voted Corey, and they would have had the votes on Darrell. It's not like Darrell would have even found out that Leroy was behind it because he's not going to see the votes. So there was just, I know that's just the problem with Leroy. He just wants to, like, be the cutthroat guy, but he's also, like, such a nice guy. He just wants to be a friend to Darrell and just tell him. And, yeah. Like, he can't shake that sometimes.
To give him a little credit, maybe he did think, like, if I give him the tip off to be prepared, he won't want to take my partner. He won't be mad at me next round. But you're right. Like, the risk might not be worth the reward, although I hesitate to think that this group would turn on Leroy, which is a flaw of the season. On a normal season, I totally agree. But it's like they're so entrenched. Mm-hmm. It's like nobody's better move would be to turn on Leroy.
Yeah, I totally agree about Darrell. The way he reacted was just so perfect. And that's why it's so fun to have these different type of people. If, like, if this was, you know, Devin in this spot, he's trying to blow up the house and squirm and do all this stuff. Darrell does the, all right, then I'm just going to take your partner. And, like, yeah, exactly. Like, pseudo threaten him, but not really threaten, like, just make a matter-of-fact promise. Great, I'm going to take Casey. That's perfect. And I just love that you have these types of different people that can make these different type of moves, and it's not all exactly what you would expect.
There was so much power and hostility being exchanged between this conversation between two friends, and it wasn't at all awkward to watch or mean-spirited or upsetting. It was just, like, cool and fun to watch. And it was, yeah, I was like, this is why you bring Darrell, because he's playing mine. He's like, oh, you want to play my game? I'll go the next step without skipping a beat. No problem. And he's like, I'm not keeping my girl. Like, I love the way he says it. Like, I'm not an idiot. Look at how she performed.
Mm-hmm. And Issa was, I think they made the right decision with Corey, but the way Anissa was talking about it was very frustrating, where she was like, you know, we won this week, so we could kind of take the week off. We don't, let's make all of them do the difficult stuff. Let's make it easy for us. Like, that's like the opposite how you should be when you're in power this late. This should be like, all right, I have power. I want everything to go exactly how I want it to do. I want them to do this so I can do this. Like, the fact that she was so willing just to take the foot off the gas, that's another reason why she probably hasn't won in so long, because she doesn't have that killer instinct to make the big move when she wants to. And I don't necessarily even think she made the wrong move, but she could have made the wrong move by letting the house take over.
Yeah, I mean, I'm torn, right? Because Kyle gives us the entertainment and their deliberation. Like, oh, let's do CT against Darrell. That would be incredible. Let's do Fast against Darrell and put everyone in. Like, that's, he's keeping this part of the show alive, right? By even entertain. I don't think for one second he actually is planning to do that. But why not vote in Fessy here? I guess because you don't have the clearance that it's a girl's day. But again, like, these people, and this is why I think the Skulls thing is dead. Like, it's very frustrating to me. I don't want to see Skulls anymore. I think we will continue to see them. But it doesn't work because people are not trying to get threats out of the house. They are afraid of losing their Skull or what. I don't know. But they are not considering who they don't want to run against in the final. They're just like, I'm happy to go to the end with Fessy and CT and Leroy. And that's insane.
Yeah. At first I was with you. I thought they really should have made a move here. But the fact that Anissa and Kyle, like, they were 100% going to be thrown in. They have, like, no one in this house that would have been voting with them. I think they really need an ally for next week, especially Anissa, because odds are she'd be able to beat Big T in elimination, but obviously she wouldn't want to risk it. So now at least they have an ally if they don't win the challenge. Now all of a sudden, if Corey wins the challenge, like, he's not going to, you would think, not turn around and say Kyle and Anissa. So now you have at least another team on your side that will vote with you, where before, like, if they screw over Corey here and they vote in, you know, Leroy and Casey into this elimination, now they have no one going into next week, and they are 100% going in unless they win again.
I mean, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Corey loses to those guys. Like, I also think like, they've done you no favors. They basically communicated to you in the order that you would have gone first in. And so it's like, I mean, you're totally right. I just don't see a world where it's not 80 to 90% likely that Anissa and Fessy are going in regardless. And to me, I'd want to keep, you know, no offense to Darrell, but Darrell moved like honey this episode. If I'm Kyle, I want to keep Darrell and Corey, my best shot of having both of them stay, because I would rather go against Darrell and or Corey than Fessy and CT or mm-hmm. Leroy.
Yeah, obviously we'll jump into but Darrell's performance was very surprising. I mean, I don't know if it was his performance that was surprising or Corey's performance that was surprising, but I mean, I would have thought Darrell would have been very good chance to win a final. Maybe he still would have been, but just based off how he looked here, I mean, this was crazily embarrassing by him and more impressive by Corey.
Yeah, I mean, I do. How old is Darrell now?
I mean, he's got to be closing in on 40 if he's not there, right? I mean, right. Let's see if I can do a quick fact check.
My C key and my E key are broken, so it's very hard to Google Yikes. Darrell age the challenge without an E and without a C.
Those are tough keys to lose.
You get Darrell Agde Allen.
He's 41.
And how old is Corey? Not to be ageist, no disrespect to Darrell, but Corey's got to be in his 20s. Right, so Corey's 29 against someone who's 41.
I'm now 30. He just turned 30.
And it's just, so he's 29 at the time of filming. Like, it's just a foot race here, right? It's not puzzles. It's not strategy. It's not endurance. It's literally just pretty much a short foot race. And Corey's fast and Darrell is 41.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Corey smoked him.
I mean, I think Corey could have taken CT out in the, especially you come and you see the challenge. And you know what this is, because we've seen it three times now.
Yeah, and like, so TJ sets it up that, like, what do you say? Like, they doubled the length and tripled the resistance. Like, I don't know what they did, but like, this was, I mean, it was only interesting because of how impressive it was from Corey. But this was, to do this for the third time, I don't know why we're doing this one for the third time. This feels a little excessive.
I don't disagree. I'm glad it kind of went quick and that it didn't come down to the, like, digging into it. I'm glad that it was just a pure foot race, because it was at least something different from the last times it's been run. But okay, mm-hmm. So you think they shouldn't have put in. I'm just like, at this point in a normal season, we'd be looking to, like, see who we'd want two big dogs to go down. We'd want to put Fessy in against Corey because we want to take the shot at Fessy leaving, or we'd want to take the shot at CT. I just don't understand these complacent people happy to go to the end against the best teams in the house.
Yeah, so I think Fessy, especially because, you know, how Fessy was with Anissa, like, I thought that would have been, if they were going to vote anyone in, I thought that would have been the most likely one that they would have done it instead of Corey. But again, I think they if they didn't vote Corey in here and they voted in Fessy, and then Fessy smokes Darrell, like, Kyle and Anissa are just out, they're just screwed for next week. And obviously Kyle's fine because it's almost 100% going to be a girl's day, but for Anissa, she's going to go in almost 100% and would probably beat Big T anyway, but
yeah, but it's going to be, I mean, Big T, exactly. Is,
right, but you, I mean, I don't know, let's say if it's like the, you know, on the, you know, jumping from pole to pole and you have to solve a puzzle, like, Big T can win that. She's of all the layups in, like, the challenge world, like, she's a stronger layup than, like, she's been fairly impressive lately, at least in elimination. She could beat Anissa if it's an endurance type thing, puzzle type thing, for sure.
Look, they want to make the final, and they're so, like, if you look at the connection, if we could basically draw a straight line for, like, CT's partners with Cam's connected to Leroy's connected to Casey, who's connected to Fessy's partner's Nani's Anissa's best friend, Kyle's loves Cam, like, you know, they're basically all not wanting to turn on each other, which is makes it even more annoying. But the reality is if you don't want to see them in elimination, then you sure as hell don't want to see them in a final. And I know the skill set is different, but if I'm Nisa, my best shot at advancing in the final is to get Fessy and Nani or CT and Cam or one of them weakened stat.
Yeah.
And if it means I have to go against Big T next week, then I'd rather take that chance against Big T than have to face one of these teams that are better in the final. Whereas you could keep Darrell and Amber and, you know, together. I don't know why you let give either Darrell the opportunity to upgrade or Corey stays. Like, you know, so I just think it's not, I think they're out to lunch either way. I totally take your point. That's something I wasn't thinking about, that like at least Corey's an ally if you give him his best shot. But I don't know. It's just frustrating me as the season overall. So maybe in this particular situation, it was the right move, but it's like people do not seem to give a shit about. It seems like Leroy's plan is to run against CT and Cam and Fessy and Nani. And maybe he's just like, those are my girls. So it's if they at least they'll beat me if someone beats me. But it's frustrating as a viewer.
It is. But I think for Leroy, I mean, if Leroy actually runs this with Casey, then I think he would be, you know what? I'm fine going against any of these pairs. I think I can do it anyway. And I'd rather not sell my friends out in the process.
Sure. But I'm shocked. Well, I'm jumping ahead. I mean, all right, let's just jump in. So like, obviously,
we're basically there. Yeah.
All right. So like, is Cam the right choice for Corey? Or is I almost feel like Cam is getting snatched up every which way, but that people are sleeping on Casey.
I definitely think people are sleeping on Casey, and I agree. I think it would have been a much better. I think Corey and Casey would have been a fantastic team together, even more so than Corey and Cam. I don't know. I think, you know, we've seen Casey. Like Casey, I know she got lost in the final last year. That's basically why she was going against Jenny. But like she was right there with her for a lot of the stretch, and that's like Casey's. I think she just sometimes gets lost from the fans because she doesn't show like too much on screen. I think sometimes the contestants come forget about her too sometimes because she's quiet, she's to herself, she's not causing situations. You know, Cam is she's more like in your face with how good she is, and Casey just kind of flies by. I think people just kind of forget about her.
Yeah, I mean, I do wonder if it's like Cam's been stolen so frequently, so you're not upsetting. You're not really making any enemies. CT can't really be mad. Whereas, like, I think Cam and Leroy are on you if you're taking Casey. Maybe that's part of it. But yeah, I think it's a definite combination between general sleeping on her. Also, Cam promotes herself, and good for Cam. But Cam's out here telling everyone she's Killa and she's the best, and that works. Yeah. And she is great. Like, you know, and she backs it up, and everybody else wants her. She's the hottest commodity. But I think Casey would have been a better pick here.
Yeah, Cam, much better branding. That's for sure.
What do you think of Cam and Corey as opposed to Cam and CT?
I think Cam would be better with Corey. It does seem like there's a little bit of like a type A battle between Cam and CT that they each want to like be the man in like that power dynamic. I think Corey would feels more like the Kyle-ish where he can let Cam thrive a little bit more without his like ego getting in the way of it.
Yeah, I think Cam at the very least is flattered and she shows grace when she goes to every pick. But I think she looked more excited this time than when CT picked her. Especially when, you know, quickness is definitely not CT's strength. And Corey's got CT beat probably in endurance and speed. And Cam doesn't need a puzzle person or the experience because she's strategizing through everything. So I think they're more complementary pair, like you're saying. Do you think they will last?
I would think, I mean, how many more options are there even to switch? Like next week, there's not going to be an option. So I guess there could be, but I think they're going to last. I think they'll make it unless there's one more. Depends how when we get to the final, but I think they'll stick it out.
Yeah, I think Corey's a low likelihood to. I mean, Big T. So let's talk about Big T. CT, I think, finally handles this semi well, where he basically says, "If you'll have me, I'd love to be your partner again." Mm-hmm. Sort of giving her agency, even though she doesn't really have any, especially when she's going to want to go in and get her skull. And if he didn't pick her, she'd be a rogue agent, which I don't know how they would handle that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be great.
But see, Big T did seem to like Corey. So if Big T somehow wins the elimination next week, will she switch?
Yeah, it was funny, though, that we were just off the heels of someone leaving Big T for Cam. And here we are again with that happening. So much less fan distaste from the social media, which is because Corey handled it much better. But yeah, I don't know what they would have done if Big T was a rogue agent. I guess we would have found that if Skulls can go in against each other. But I think Big T and CT, that'll be, I mean, you talk about full circle, that would be crazy if they end up now coming back together and winning this whole thing. But it's still a long shot.
The problem here, though, for Big T is that she's not going to have the option to go against Amber B. Not that, again, to her credit, like, Corey had to really convince her she didn't really want to betray her friend. So she's got some loyalty there. But, I mean, my guess is that she'd want to be calling out Nani.
Probably. I mean, yeah, I don't think she'll have really the sway. I don't think it'll be on her to decide who goes in. I think the house is going to decide for her. But I think if she had to pick, she'd probably rather Nani than Anissa, and definitely not Casey or Cam.
I mean, so that then goes to show, like, okay, so if Corey, so you think Anissa's going in against Big T unless Corey, but now that it's Corey and Cam, you know, is she going to let him put Nani in over Anissa? Like, I almost think Corey will get bulldozed by Cam.
He might. Yeah. He might. I mean, again, it'll probably, I wonder if the same thing will go down. Will they make Big T the house vote, or they're going to make the winner vote them in and then they'll take control? If Kyle and Anissa lose, I think they'll be the house vote and then Big T will be voted in by the power team.
All right. I think that I'm perusing questions. Sorry to everyone. Thank you for everyone who submitted questions. We didn't have time to run through them before.
Amber B's reaction. I know they were together all season, but she was like hysterically crying with Darrell losing. Like, she took it harder than he certainly did. And like almost any partner all season did. And then, I mean, this was the best case scenario for Amber. Like, I know she lost like a good partner in Darrell, but if Darrell wins here, she's going to be going into elimination next week. And now she skates free in a girls week where she would have been the very likely target.
It is pretty crazy when I saw that reaction. It's like, she's like, I have to do this for Darrell. And it's like, I don't know if that makes Darrell feel any better.
Yeah, Darrell doesn't give two shits, Amber, if you win. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. Sorry. Is there anyone, this is a question from Ryan. Is there anyone you wanted to see in the final more than Darrell? I know it's Leroy's season to win, but Darrell's gameplay this episode shows why he's an all-time great. And I can't help but wonder if Leroy could have beaten him in the final.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's shaking out, we might have Leroy, Corey, and Nani all on three different teams, and those are three are probably the more popular people that people want to see win for their first time. So it's shaping up pretty well that we're going to get a fan favorite get their first win.
Tom Palmer says, with Amber, Rogue, and Nani, Cam, and Casey having each other's backs, who do you think is going to win the inevitable Elisa, Big T versus Anissa elimination? We speculate it's going to be like, do you think Big T, what if you're putting odds on it, what are the odds?
So it's just not, with no knowledge of what the elimination is, I would put Anissa probably like, you know, I would say minus 200, Big T plus 150.
I don't know what that means. Give me percentages.
Anissa is probably like 66%, 65%.
Wow. I'm putting, what is it, like 66 to win 100? What does that work? I'm taking that bet, and I'm putting a lot of money on it. I think Anissa's got like an 80% chance at least to beat Big T in any given elimination.
As long as it's not Hall, bro, I think Big T's got a chance. The way the elimination that we've seen, I think she can give Anissa a run for money in anything except for Hall, bro.
Yeah. Maybe she could do the ropes better, you know, the one that Leroy smoked.
Especially, yeah. The one you're jumping on the platforms, and then, you know, they've done it a few different times. But I mean, I there's no reason to think that Big T can't do that. Obviously, they're not going to do this one again.
I think Anissa's got in the one that Devin was in and the swinging with the rings and the puzzle. I think Anissa's got the one she won where you're throwing the medicine balls at the wall. Anissa's got all of the physical ones we've seen where you got to get the ring on the post.
Well, they haven't really done the throwing the balls at the wall in a while, right? So I guess that could be it. But she also really struggled at that one. Like, she, Tori almost, like, came back and beat her when she had, like, a huge lead. She was struggling with that.
I'm not saying she crushed it. I'm saying I think she beats Big T, no question.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. Olivia,
it's going to work out pretty well. Assuming it goes that way, it is going to work pretty well for CT that Big T, I guess he'll probably end up with Anissa then, theoretically. Because, I mean, he's going to have an upgraded partner, assuming Big T loses, and it's not going to be Amber.
There's that non-zero chance that Anissa picks Fessy.
I'm not a non-zero. I think she would. Like, I think she's
you said that Anissa might end up with CT, and I'm saying I think there's a better chance she ends up with Fessy.
Right. But yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
Olivia says, not complaining, but how did the editors get away with using almost exclusively 80s music all season? Is this a subtle way of dating viewers of the challenge?
I guess so. Last season they did movies as the episode titles. Have you been catching what the episode names have been? Is there any theme with them this year?
Wasn't there one that was like The Spy Who Loved Fessy or something? That was one of them recently. I forget what this episode was.
Let's see if I can. This is called Shook Ones. Or I might just be totally making that up. Yeah, this is called, I'm totally making that up. This is called The Best of Enemies. I don't know where I got Shook Ones from. What the hell?
Shook One? Like the ones who are Vultures shook?
The Vultures, like, episodes, like their recap is the Challenge Double Agents recap, Shook Ones.
Oh, okay.
So I thought that was the episode title.
Okay, I thought you just said that.
It was called The Best of Enemies.
I'm crying at that. I was like, I'm a Shook One based on that.
So that was, you need to read article titles, not the full article, people.
Okay, I think we covered a lot of what you guys wrote in about. Thank you. Sorry, we almost never don't get through the questions, but you know, life happens. All right, let's get to the social media. A lot of marriages happening. Zach and Jenna got married over the weekend, and also Ashley from she was on The Real World with Jemmy. I think she was on a challenge, if I'm not mistaken, and she dated Zach. And so somebody had a great tweet that was like, Ashley and Zach got married this weekend, just not to each other, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. Yep. So a hearty mazel tov going out to the challengers. Another hearty mazel tov going out to Kyle Christie, who apparently had a very long-term girlfriend. And I guess, as Scally said, is the reason that he was like, I definitely didn't hook up with Mel last season. He tweeted, little bit of you and a little bit of me. That's what it takes to make family. Red heart emoji. I promise you, kid, you're going to have one hell of a life. Baby Christie, due September. Razzle dazzle emoji. Red heart emoji.
Got dad Kyle. At what point are we going to have like parents versus non-parents as a theme for a season?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Kyle already sort of is dad Kyle.
Oh, does he have a kid already?
No, like, just like, I don't know that he's going to change that much. Like, it's not like he needs to cool down his temper or like whatever. Like, he's sort of got dad energy now. Like, he's a goon now.
Yeah, definitely doesn't need to cool down the way Corey and CT did.
Also, thanks to Meg and Elizabeth who compiled these. Devin Walker, I thought of you, Brian, when I saw this tweet. Can we take a moment to appreciate how many, quote, I'm doing this for my family moments we're going to have on Challenge All-Stars? I'm effing here for it. Mm-hmm. I don't think Brian is.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of for the kids.
And then Big T just spreading positivity. Thank you to whoever makes up the challenges this week. Swimming between tectonic plates was one of the most incredible experiences.
Yeah. Felt bad for her when TJ told them it's a guy's day and she's like walking off and he's seeing the subtitles. Like, when am I ever going to get my chance to get the gold skull?
Yeah, Big T. She always comes with 100% heart and energy. Got to love it.
I mean, great send off that they're all got from TJ. Basically, like, I'll see you on the OGs.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting, though. He was like, first of all, a consummate professional. It's hilarious that he said that, but does not say, I'm sure we'll see in the future. I'm confident we'll see in the future. Hope to see in the future. Just like, take care of yourself or whatever he said.
I thought he said, well, definitely. Did I miss that? But I definitely heard take care of yourself. But it was a very good send off. I thought it was very positive.
Okay. You want to do the drinking game?
Yep. We got 20 for the week, 7 subtitles, speaking of, 3 teams DQing, 1 person eating, 4 times someone sleeping in bed, 1 partner switch, 3 Amber B's, and 1 mispronouncing a word, Amber not being able to pronounce tectonic.
Great. Okay, do you have anything to add? I don't really have anything to add this week.
So I know we have partner switch, but just in case it happens, I'll just temporarily add this for the final drinking game. If you switch a partner during the final, I think we should add that in there.
It's Leroy said, did Kyle count the preview for next week where Leroy says it's really who wants it more?
No. He did not.
Yeah, be watching those previews, Kyle.
But yeah, he also there was no number for this, but for Kyle's teeth, he just said every confessional. So there's no number for it.
Okay. Thank you to our DDs, Stuart, Matt. Oh my god, I just brain farted. Kate. I'm so sorry.
Yep.
That was so inappropriate. My brain doesn't work, it's very late. You know what? I started thinking about how funny it is that there's a Stewart and then Matt Stewart's last name is Stewart. And then I got carried away. Kate, thank you. I'm so sorry. I have this like fake feud going with Kate because I made a joke once that she was rooting against us. And then now like I just brain farted. So I'm sure I'll hear about it this week, but I deserve it. I should hear about it. Okay. So thank you, Dolph.
It's more real than some rivals partners.
Yeah. Well, no, we're not rivals. I'm appreciative. I'm just trying to dig myself out of the hole here. But not in the game, because I lead now and my lead is restored because Matt my individual lead, because Matt went from 12 to 11. Don't worry about it. Matt went from 12 to 11. I have to do some quick math. What are our team scores?
We 18 to 19. Yeah. So yeah, we're down by 1.
But Scally
now,
and
but
Scally and Matt lost a point.
I got a good chance next week because I got Big T. Got the elimination next week. Feeling good. Anissa's probably gonna win. So we're in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to lose Amber B this week, but I guess you lose Jarrell, so net for the team. I stay at 12. Matt's at 11. Scally's at paltry 8 points down from 9. And Brian, on the come up at 6. You see how perception is everything?
Matt 6. I'll be at 7 next week. You know, I'm on the trending up. Trending up.
Yep. Stuart sent a very optimistic message that Brian's been taking points from Matt and Scally. But again, and we love the DDs, and we hope to do this again next season because we have a lot of improvements we want to be making on the scoring system. Yes. Not because of them, but just we've made it sort of uninteresting accidentally.
Yeah. But we'll be better next year.
I mean,
because we always hope to be.
We might just forget to do it, but assuming we do, either way, it'll be better.
Yeah. There you go. Challenge OGs, April 1st, officially announced. I don't think we had the date last time we did this, so April 1st.
We didn't. Exciting. Maybe next week we'll talk about the cast. I think the plan, as Brian and I decided 5 seconds before getting on the pod, is that we will look. We kept this to a nice tight hour, as opposed to our hour and a half. We will tack on Challenge OG coverage to the end of our regular scheduled podcast, and maybe we'll put in like the show notes when that starts if people just want to be listening to that. And then we will just continue a weekly pod once the overlap ends and continue to cover just the Challenge OGs.
Yep.
Imagine how tired we are. But I'm excited. I'm excited.
Imagine how tired we are of it. Imagine how tired we are of it. Isn't that TikTok?
I thought you were going to finish that sentence.
No, I think that's the TikTok. Imagine how tired we are.
I think it's tit for tat talk, but I'm not sure. I can't confirm.
Ha ha ha.
Okay, what is 19 minus 7? 12? Cool. Yep. So thank you to Carly Izzy, who left a review because she remembers the Kappa rap. We got quite a few people saying they remember that, so thank you.
I know, we did.
You still haven't watched it. Shell Kelly.
No, I'm not.
Anna Lee. I'm so tone deaf, I can't do it. Okay. Sean E. from CT, the Devin of podcasts. I hope that's a compliment. Linz 4235, and Megs for days. Thanks so much, guys. People, you've really been just like coming consistent with the five-star views. We haven't even really been about it as much as we are, but I just want you to know that I am about it. We are about it. We love it. And you've been getting us through the season and we appreciate it.
We're observing you observing us. We
appreciate it. Oh my God. That was so good, Ryan. Great job. Great work out there. So if you want to tell us to observe you observing us, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. I tell Rob in the, so plugging that, you should check out the ridiculous recap. And don't worry if you've never seen Karamoan, never seen Survivor, or don't like Karamoan. You don't have to have any familiarity with it because we spend 4.5 hours telling you every single beat.
Except for Philip, not wanting to do that one challenge.
Well, that I gave you here. I can't give it all in one place, you know?
That was the bonus DVD coverage.
Yeah, you can go to robhasawebsite.com to find that. And I raised with Rob that our website is so outdated. And he was like, do you want me to change it to robhasawebsite.com/challenge Apple Podcast? But I was like, I know he's kidding, but if he did change it, what are the chances that we'd ever get it right? Ever? Zero?
No, we would say like challenge like slash I Apple Podcast, Apple iTunes. We would be combining it.
I just think we'd be saying iTunes. Like we'd say it a million times the same way. We 7 years we had this website.
I know. We were even saying it for the Are You the One. It was like a staple.
That's it. You could check out that we skipped New Girl Guy this week because we gave you 4.5 hours of other content. And we'll be back next week at anchor.fm/New Girl Guy talking sort of about the show New Girl.
And you can follow me at Colin with a C, Brian with an I underscore on Twitter.
Can we do more to talk about that, actually? Like, it's getting ridiculous how many people like Brian Scally stopped letting you know, Brian, when they tag Scally. Two tweets last week.
I haven't seen.
Yeah, oh, he was God, like, should I even tell Brian? I was like, at this point.
Yes, I love that. Please tag them and all. I love it. It's so funny.
Okay.
Brian,
Cohen, that's
me.
The whole bit we've been doing. Cohen, Brian, Barfield, the baby, Brian, Cohen. No one calls Scally Brian. What is the problem?
And Brian's like a common name, too. It's not like our names are like so unique that it's like, oh, it must be this person. Who else could we name Brian?
I'm just imagine how tired we are. Honestly, we're flattered that you'd even think to tweet someone close to adjacent to us. So whatever.
You know what's sad? Like, I don't get any tweets thinking that I'm Scally. So like, where is the equalness? Like, why can't people think that I'm Scally? That like, you know, he's on Temptation Island podcast this week. Tweet me thoughts that stuff that Scally said that I said.
Now, I don't know. Is Scally just not getting tweets? Or does he have a better brand?
That's a good question. I don't know. I guess, or is it a good brand? Because if how good of a, I guess he has the Brian locked down. He's got the brand. Right,
is he the premier Brian? Is he the first?
I guess so.
But maybe he's not getting Brian. Tweets.
He's Scally.
Maybe you're That's getting true. The tweets. Scally, are these the only tweets you get?
Yeah, do you get any tweets directed to you, or are they all like the misdirected mail where like we're at the same address but like different zip codes or something?
All right. Well, you know, if Brian likes it, then keep doing it. Do it more.
Oh, it's hysterical. I mean, no, it's all piled. Like, if you know, if it starts hearing like hate mail stuff, then yeah, just send them to Scally, you know, to send them to me. Otherwise, it's funny.
All right. Well, that's it. You will be able to check out Brian talking about Survivor on an undetermined date that he knows but is not allowed to reveal.
I do?
Oh, do you not know the date?
I don't know. I didn't even know I was doing anything.
Are you sure? Is it possible that Sam confused you with Scally when I said, is Brian doing one?
Well, Scally's doing it next week. So I think, again, you know, I'd be confused by my own co-host.
No. Why would I ask if Scally was doing one?
Well, if you ask Brian Scally is doing it next week. So that would be very much a weird question.
I would never have asked Sam if Brian Scally was doing one.
This would be so perfect if they're all this. If you directed it to me. I don't know. Maybe I am, but I haven't been told.
That's hilarious. Okay. Well, more on that next week.
I'll show up when Ali tells me to show up.
I'm not in charge. If I were in charge, you would have done all of them.
No one wants that. Not even me, least of all my wife. We'll be back next week for episode 15. Until then, have a good one.
Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.